Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Hallelujah. John chapter 5, you get there to say amen. Let's look at it, if you would, in verse number... Let's go to verse number 39, John 5, verse 39. We're going to continue today in part two of a series that I really felt led to deal with and dealing with the topic of honor. And it may sound on the surface like, man, I don't want to hear about honor, but it could be the most life-changing word you ever heard if you'll get a hold of its principle. And this is going to be one of those services. And last Wednesday, my goodness, if you weren't here, get that thing. I'm going to tell you what, the Lord met with us last Wednesday, and I'm believing he's going to meet with us again because he's endorsed this message and this topic, and an understanding of this could change your life forever. But the theme that we're going to get a hold of, I pray, in this service is that when no honor is given to God, no honor can be received from God. I'm going to say that again, and I want you to say it. When no honor is given to God, no honor can be received from God. Now you say it. When no honor is given to God, no honor can be received from God. And once you begin to understand what it means to be honored by God, you'll forget whether or not a man ever honored you. Because you'll start recognizing the honor that comes from God only and what that honor entails, what it means. And we're living in a day and age where we better understand the honor that comes from God and be liberated from the bondage of man and seeking man's approval, all while ignoring whether or not we have God's approval. So that's what Jesus is facing here in John 5 as he's dealing with these Pharisees and Sadducees that did not honor the word. They did not honor Jesus. Watch what Jesus says beginning in verse 39. He says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." And what Jesus is saying here is you think the word says something that you don't even know that it says because you have not searched it. He says, "And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men. But I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not," what? "The honor that cometh from God only." In light of that, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, your authority. We acknowledge you as the author of your infallible, unadulterated, pure word that you have preserved from generation to generation. And we thank you that we have a copy of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that gives us understanding of your word, that opens our eyes to read and to see and to hear and to comprehend. Lord, I pray now for these that would hear this message today, God, for those under the sound of my voice, that you would bless their hearing, that your people would receive revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and all spiritual understanding. Father, I ask now that you speak through me the words that you would have spoken, that your spirit would speak by me, and that your word would be on my tongue, that you would make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that I might sketch on the hearts and minds of these your people your anointed word, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever. As we boldly declare that Satan is defeated, we are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. When you look at the word honor, it's closely connected to the word honest. And when you talk about someone walking in honesty, as we are called to do in 1 Peter 2:11-12, to walk honest among this world, honesty is an ethical conduct. It's to have an ethic, which is nothing more than a rule or a system of behavior, and honesty is an ethical conduct. And a person that didn't have any ethics or conviction would not care whether or not they were honest. So when you look at the word honor and its relationship to the word honest or honesty, this is in reference to a conduct, a behavior that we're called of God to operate in. Now, the honor that God has called us to walk in ultimately always goes completely back to Him. And I'm going to explain that here in just a moment, because there are legitimate God-ordained authorities in all of our lives. And we're supposed to honor those God-ordained authorities as unto Him and believe that through that same order, God will bestow upon us His honor. And what does that mean? What does it mean to honor God and to honor the God-ordained authorities in our life, like for a child to honor their mother and father? What does it mean to honor God and then receive the honor that comes from God only? Well, it's likely that one of the first times you probably heard the word honor or may have used it was when you were thinking about your children, or when you heard it when your parents used it for you. So let's go back and look at one of these first uses in Exodus chapter number 20. And I believe that this use of the word honor that we should all be familiar with, and that is children, are being called of God to honor their mother and father. I think you'll begin to see a picture of how God honors those that honor Him. And of course, let me go back and connect you to last week's message where we defined honor, which is a delegation of kingdom authority. Or you could say a delegation of dominion and authority, because you can't use the word dominion and not talk about kingdom, because the kingdom of God is the king's domain or the king's dominion. So when you say kingdom, you're actually saying king's dominion. And honor is when there's a delegation of that kingdom or of that dominion and authority. So to really pull all that together so that the youngest in here can understand it, let's search the scriptures. Exodus chapter 20, if you're there, say amen. We'll look at it in verse number 20, or 12, verse 12 of Exodus 20. Look at your neighbor and make sure they're not in Ephesians, and if they're not, say amen. All right, good deal. Well, watch this. He says here in verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Read that out loud. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now notice that of the commandments that God gave, this is the only commandment that when it is kept, there is a reward. There is a response. God says to the children, if you honor your mother and father, God is going to prolong your days in the land of promise. So there's a benefit. Now, for the parent that wants their child's life to be prolonged in the land of promise, that parent is going to want to raise their children in a way that they're honoring authority, because they want their life prolonged in the promised land. And for a child that grows up and can comprehend that honoring my mother and father could prolong my days on earth and in the land of promise, then now I'm motivated to honor my parents, because when I honor my parents, God is going to honor me with long life in His promise. Now, to really make sense of this, I want you to come over to the book of Ephesians. So now let's go to Ephesians 6, because this commandment is echoed, and you're going to begin to see this pattern, that when you honor God, honor begins to come to you from God. And what do I mean by that? What do I mean by God honoring you? Honor in its simplest application, when you look at honor that comes from God, and we're going to show you scriptural evidence of this, is a delegation. When God delegates dominion, when God delegates authority to someone that has honored him. In other words, he's given a benefit, a blessing, an endowment, a favor, a position to an individual that has walked in an ethical code of conduct that pleases him, that he now can respond to with honor. And we talked about that last week, that you can't promote irresponsible people. And you can't put people in positions of authority that are dishonorable or dishonest, because then if they are showing themselves to be unfaithful over little, and then you honor them with much, according to Luke 16 and 10, they're now going to be dishonorable in much. So you don't honor those that are dishonorable. That's God's system. And when you talk about having been honored by God, delegated with authority, delegated with dominion, when we start searching the word here in just a few minutes, and you see what that means to a believer, I can't imagine any one of us want to walk out of here today and not be willing and ready to want to honor God in every area of their life. When you see what honor can come to you when you choose to honor God. Hallelujah. We're not talking about what man can give you. Get last week's message. We're talking about what only God can bestow upon you. Hallelujah. You see, man cannot control the heart of God, but God can control the heart of man. So who do I really want to please in my life? I want to please God, who's in control of everything. Amen. Now watch this in Ephesians 6, and you there say amen. Children, obey your parents, how? In the Lord, for this is right. Now here's the commandment of Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and mother. We read that, right? Now watch this. If you'll remember, the promise was that you would live long. Now go to verse 3. That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. So now there's that promise echoed, but the New Testament does us a favor. And notice what's in the parenthesis in verse 2. Read what's in the parenthesis there. Ready to read. Which is the first commandment with promise. What does that mean, the first commandment with promise? It's the first commandment that God gave, that if you do this, I will do this. If you honor, I will honor. What's the honor? What is God delegating? What is God giving authority over? What dominion is God giving to these children that have grown up honoring their mother and father? He's given them the dominion of life. He's given them the domain of the land of promise. It's being extended because they were honorable to their first authority, which is their mother and father. See, before a child will ever learn to honor their teacher, they've got to learn to honor their mother or their daddy. And before they will ever honor the counselor or the assistant principal or the principal or the headmaster, they've got to learn to honor their mother and father. And before they're ever going to honor, you know, someone other authority figure in their life, that honor's first got to be taught at home. And so many times we're sending our children off to school angry at the teacher over dishonorable children, when we are the ones that sent those dishonorable children into those classrooms. And it's not the teacher's fault that they didn't teach your child how to be honorable. That's our responsibility to raise up our children to be honorable, and we should send them into this world already understanding how to honor authority. But if they didn't get that at home, they won't get that in out there in public. And you don't have to say amen, this isn't preaching good. So God knew the importance of honor, so he said, hey parent, if you want your child to have a life that's prolonged in the land of promise or on earth, you've got to raise them up in a way where they know how to honor you, and that honor they give to you has got to be unto me. Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. All honor, every time you see a position of authority mentioned in the Word of God, that authority is only legitimate when that authority is representing God. In other words, I am never to obey man when that requires me to disobey God. Never. Even when you look at the word submission, that everybody loves that word, but when you look at the word submission in Scripture, that word submission is, when you look at wives in Ephesians 5, being submitted to their husbands, it says, as unto the Lord, which means you don't submit to your husband who's calling you to do something that would disobey the Lord, that would call you out of faith with Jesus. In other words, I never honor a man that in honoring that man, I dishonor my God. I've had people to say, well, whatever the law of the land is, God's called us to obey it. Not when the law of the land is making me disobey him. Go back and read all the stories that have been so famous in the Bible. Men and women of God throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New, were persecuted, thrown in prison, thrown in lion's dens, thrown in fiery furnaces because they would not obey the government of man when the government of man tried to make them dishonor the government of the kingdom. And we saw faithfully God deliver Daniel from the lion's den, deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace, delivering Paul and Silas from that prison cell because they said, you know what? I'm not going to honor a man and dishonor God. But because when I honor God, he will honor me. So recognize that all legitimate authority is going to always be traced back to God. I was preaching one day on television, or the message aired on television. It went out. Lady watched it. She didn't like it. Saw me in public. Came up to me. Said, I heard you preach this. And I said, was it at church? She said, no, it was on your television broadcast. She had a big attitude, cocking her head, doing all this stuff, you know. Like, you know, I don't even know who you are. Attacking me in public. Got my baby's present. I ain't got time for all this foolishness. And she said, I just want you to know that the church is the pillar of truth, and whatever the church chooses to teach is truth. And just because churches don't teach what you preach out of that Bible don't mean it's not truth, because the church is the pillar of truth, and whatever the church says is truth. And I said, Lord, help you. Jesus can't even help you right now, girl. I didn't know what to say. So you mean to tell me that if the church says it, it's now doctrine? Are you kidding me? Has man been given that kind of honor? Man has not been given that kind of honor. We've not been given that kind of authority to come up with our own doctrine, to come up with our own truth, because we are the church. No, we are the church that has been founded on the revelation of Jesus, the rock of his word. And the only honor that we've been given, according to Psalm 149, is to declare this written word. This honor have all his saints, but I don't have the honor to close this book and make up anything I want to say and then make you do it. I don't have the right to lock the church doors and tell you that you can't come in on Communion Sunday because you weren't wearing white. Well, that's the church doctrine. It ain't in this doctrine. If you're going to lock me out of the church because I'm not wearing white on Communion Sunday, you ain't got to worry about locking them doors on me ever again, because I won't be back. How you going to lock somebody out of God's house? When did, because that's what the whole thing came up with, so I'm saying it again on TV now. The church doesn't have the right to get golden pots up before an altar and then put rags in those pots that are held by ministers and then tell the people that if you'll come up here and get a rag out of this pot and rub that rag on your body, your sins will be cleansed. Are you serious? Where is that in the Word of God? Man doesn't have the honor to come up with his own way to forgive sin. Forgiveness of sin only comes by the blood of Jesus. I'm only saying this because men don't have the right to come up with their own rules and then make us comply and call that honoring God. Every legitimate authority has to represent God's word and God, or that authority is not legitimate. Delegated authority, honor is delegated authority. That means it's not an authority you would have had it not been given. Do you see the difference between that? Delegated authority is authority that has been handed down. It's delegated. It's delegated authority. You know, my dad bought me my first car, Volkswagen Beetle. I learned to drive in a Volkswagen Beetle, and that's what I wanted for my first vehicle. So my dad put me in one, gave me the keys, and guess what he reserved the right to? Take them keys and that car. Because I didn't buy it. It wasn't mine. I lived in his house. He bought it, paid the insurance on it, and I had to do this, that, and the other to maintain the rights to that vehicle. And if I didn't maintain the rights to that vehicle, I lost that vehicle. Why? Because it was delegated. It was a domain I was given responsibility over. That vehicle was a dominion of mine. My job was to wash it, keep it clean, change the oil in it, and to drive it honorably, obey the law, obey my daddy, and then I could keep driving it. If I ever got dishonorable with it, he reminded me that it wasn't mine. It was his. He gave it. He could take it back. Y'all ain't clapping now. What's wrong with you? Are y'all not clapping because you hate the thought of Pastor Ames not having this Volkswagen Beetle? No, that's delegation. When you delegate a key to a building, you're saying, I'm giving you the rights to open and lock this building. But if you don't do what you've been given this key to do in that building, we reserve the right to take that key back from you. That's honor. It's delegated. You don't write it yourself. It's not yours. It's been given. Well, I'd love for God just to delegate everything he has. I mean, imagine what he can delegate to you. Y'all ain't hearing me. Imagine what God, he owns more than a Volkswagen Beetle. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? He can delegate some things to you. But he can't when we're not walking in honor. And he's so serious about this that he made this the first commandment that had an attached promise with it, because he knew that if a child wasn't raised up in the way they should go, when they got old, they would depart from it. And so that way that a child should be brought up is to understand honor. And honor is delegation authority. Now, being that we're talking about delegated authority or delegated dominion and authority, let me define the word authority. The word authority means the right to command and be obeyed. Say that out loud. The right to command and be obeyed. So legitimate authority has the right in our lives to command and be obeyed. A parent has legitimate authority over their child. They have the right to command and be obeyed. It means you have the right to say, Johnny, take the trash out. And Johnny doesn't have the right to say, I did it yesterday. Why I got to do it today? And Samantha hadn't done it none this week. No, that's dishonorable. Johnny, take the trash out. Now, if Johnny knows he's doing it more than Samantha, he can go in his prayer closet and say, Lord, would you move on my mom and daddy to make Samantha take the trash out sometime? Then he walked back in the kitchen and mom and daddy say, Johnny, hold on a minute. You know what? Now, I just hit me. Samantha, where are you at, girl? You hadn't taken this trash out in 3 or 4 days. And then that little Johnny's saying, pray, victory is my victory. See, he's praising Jesus because he went to the authority of his mother and daddy. Now, he don't need to do that by saying, I'm going to go tell God on you. No, he just needs to go secretly and pray and say, God, mom and daddy are my authority, and I've been taking the trash out every day. Samantha never does it. Would you please move on mom and daddy's heart? Would you turn their heart to make this thing a little more fair? You see how that works?
Yeah.
All right. If systems, businesses, churches, families understood and recognized honor, it'd be a smooth life. You know, I've had people to stop me in carpool picking up my children at school. Not recently, but when we first purchased the school. And they would come to me and knock on my window, roll the window down. Yes, ma'am. I want to know why this is in the science book. Or why this is in the math book. Or why did this go home and why did my child get this? I said, wait, did you talk to the teacher? No. Have you talked to Mr. Heron? No. Have you talked to? No. I just figured I'd come to you. Well, it'd really help me if you'd have started with the teacher. Because the teacher was in the classroom with the child when the assignment was given. And I know I'm pastor and president, but I just absolutely don't know everything. I've hired a lot of people that trust they're doing what they need to be doing. And if they're not, then I can address them. But if you ain't went to that teacher to say, teacher, explain this to me, then now, you know, why are you coming to the president? So now if the teacher don't give you the answer you need, then go to the assistant principal. If they don't give you the answer you need, then go to the headmaster. If you don't get the answer you need, then please call me. Then I'm going to go back to the headmaster, back to the assistant principal, and back down to that teacher. See, that's honorable. That's working the chain of command and then coming back down. That's an honorable way. It's dishonorable for a child to come to their daddy and get an answer and then go to their mama to get another one. and then go back to their daddy and say, Mama said I could do this. Well, that should never be allowed in a home, because now you're teaching that child they don't have to honor. That means if little Johnny went to Mama and got a no, and he went to Daddy, he can't get a yes. If Daddy thinks there should have been a yes, then Daddy has to go to Mama in private and say, Mama, now why'd you say no? I said no because he ain't done his homework. Oh, okay. Well, then what if he does his homework? Well, I wouldn't have no problem with it. Now the one that said no is the one that's got to go back. Daddy can't go back and be the hero. He can't go back now and say, little Johnny, I talked to Mama for you. Get that homework done. You can go down the street and play. No, now it looks like when Mama says something, I just go to Daddy and he'll overrule. That's teaching that child to be dishonorable. Now when Daddy's not home and he goes to his Mama, he won't obey his Mama because Daddy ain't there, and he'll think he can get away with it. And when Daddy comes home, he'll trump what Mama said. So what's got to happen is Mama's got to come back and tell that boy, like she ain't even talked to Daddy, and say, did you get the homework done? Yes, ma'am. Go play. And then now he's realizing that the same Mama that said no is the only one that's going to get to say yes. And whether that's Mom or Dad, if you don't raise up your children with that kind of honor, you're going to mess the life of that child up, because when they don't get what they want from one place, they'll just run to another and never learn to honor where they are at. I'm preaching good up in here. Hallelujah. It's a system that God wants operative in our lives, beginning with our children. Remember, where no honor is given, no honor should be received. Listen to me. But we live in a world that doesn't want to give honor, but only wants to receive it. So when little Johnny's mad because he couldn't go down the street and play, and he goes to Daddy and says, Mama said I couldn't play today, and Daddy's thinking, man, mean Mama, why wouldn't she let little Johnny go play? But what Daddy's not hearing is that little Johnny did not honor Mama to be given the honor to go play. And so he's running to Daddy to see, can he get the honor, the delegated authority to run down the street and play without ever having to obey what Mom and Daddy said. He's saying, honor me, but don't make me be honorable. I say, But God is saying, no, if you want to receive honor, you've got to give honor. That's the real world. I know it's not the real world for many people in their homes, but if you don't make that the real world in your home, you're only going to handicap the life of your child when they leave your home. Because I'm telling you, a lot of people won't honor from God, but they just don't want to honor God. They want everything God has to give, but they don't want to walk in any kind of ethical code of conduct. But I got to say it, God don't bless mess. And there's a reason why things work like they do in our life. Now, let's go over to the book of Peter, and I want to show you something here where Jesus was honored by the Father, and we'll look at it in the, I'll tell you in just a minute, 1 Peter chapter number 2. Did I give you that reference already? When I talked about it, I did at the very beginning, honesty, 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12, put that in your notes. Somebody's saying, yeah, all right, hallelujah, I believe I did. I'm standing in agreement with you. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now watch Jesus here. He is our ultimate example. All right, before I can go any further, I'm ready to turn the page here. Before I go, I heard a preacher say it like this one time, a long time ago, about 3 years ago. He said, I can't go another further. So I'm going to repeat what I loved it. It's about an 80-year-old minister. And I heard that. I said, man, I love it. So I'm not going to go another further unless I know you understand what this means. Do you understand that God's not going to honor you if you're not going to honor him? Everybody got that? And now I want to expound on what this honor that he gives us, what it looks like. And what I'm going to do is, as I'm going to inject in this message, as we talk about the honor that comes from God, I'm going to inject in this message ways that we honor God. In other words, we're going to look at how God honors us. We're going to see how we're supposed to honor him. We're going to kind of mingle that together, because I thought about this. I said, you know what? If I show them all the ways that God honors us, we'd shout, turn cartwheels, run out of here. But it wouldn't do any good if we don't know how to honor him. So we're going to kind of balance that thing. Look with me in 2 Peter chapter 1. You're there, say amen. And we're going to drop down to verse number, let's go to verse 17. This is referring to Jesus. And this is actually a record in 2 Peter 1, 16 through. This is a record of what Peter saw that's recorded in the Gospels in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. So if you want to read the account, it's in Matthew 17. If you're one that writes in your Bible, you can write that down right there in 2 Peter 1, 16. All right, verse 17. For he received from God, referring to Jesus, the Father. What did he receive? Honor and glory. And we're going to talk about glory next in this topic, our Wednesday topics. Our next word study will be glory. So he received from the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. Now let's read what that voice said. Ready? Read. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So notice, what did the Son do that caused the Father to honor him? Come on, it's answered here. Just read the word, it's in here. All right, let me help you. This is my beloved Son, read the rest with me, in whom I am well pleased. Let's emphasize the word pleased. So what do you think he did to the Father? Pleased the Father. And since the Father was pleased, what did the Father give to Jesus? Honor. You see it? You can't honor your children when they're not pleasing you. All right? And God's not going to honor us when we're not pleasing him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Reward means he honors, he blesses, he bestows favor. When? When I please him. Too few, talking too little about that. All right? So Jesus was honored by the Father. Let's look at what that honor might have looked like. Go with me to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Glory to God. I love it when the Bible makes sense. And it makes sense when it teaches itself. The best teacher of the Bible is the Bible. That's why I can't read a text and then close the Bible. Because then the rest of the Bible don't explain that text. I end up explaining it. Then you have to take my words for it. And that's what puts people to sleep. Now go with me to Matthew 28. And you get there, say amen. Amen. Did Jesus please the Father? Yes. Did the Father give him honor? Yes. Woo! Look at here. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, read it, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, when it says all power is given unto me, I could read it like this. All power is delegated unto me in heaven and in earth. So what all did the Father give Jesus? All power. All power. Somebody say all power. And that word power comes from the Greek word exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-A, exousia. Everybody say exousia. I just want to hear what you sound like saying. That's cool. The word exousia is the greatest form of the word power in the Bible. The other word power that's used in Scripture, in the English word it just says power, but in the Greek, the other word for power is dunamis, D-U-N-A-I-A-M-I-S. It's the same word that we get the English word dynamite. And dunamis is just, you know, power, explosive power, I started to say. But remember in Luke 10:19 when Jesus said to the disciples, he said, I give you power. Who knows what else he said? Over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The Greek would read it like this. Jesus would have said, I give unto you exousia over all the dunamis of the devil. And what exousia means is jurisdiction. Exousia means jurisdiction. And jurisdiction means I control this dominion. You can have all the power you want, but you can't operate in that power outside your jurisdiction. See, if you were endorsed by the law, you can't operate outside your jurisdiction. And so Jesus is saying, I give you exousia over all the power of the devil. He's never saying that the devil doesn't have any power. The devil does have power. He's just saying he doesn't have the jurisdiction to exercise his power in your life. I give you exousia, jurisdiction over all the power of the devil. That's an honor that can only come from God. Now, that's greater than anything that the devil can give me. That's greater than anything that this world can give me. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Go to Luke chapter 4. Y'all get anything out of this? So I want this authority in my life. Glory to God. This is the authority that I want in my life. That I would know that I can operate under the delegated authority of Jesus. Now, I didn't finish reading Matthew 28. I should have. I turned from it too quick. What did I tell you? Go to Luke 4? Let me stay there. Let me read the rest. But he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Then he said this, go ye therefore. This is the Great Commission. He said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is mine. Now you go into all the earth because I have power over all of it. And you win the lost and you baptize them and you teach them everything I've taught you and I'm with you always, even to the end. But notice what he said. I have all power in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. I went and saw my dear friend Dr. Mack today. And they're renovating and a building they purchased for their new church. And he said, Pastor, when you leave here, he said, please go by and see what we've done. And he said, just stop by. Tell me where's that. So people when we're working there, I said, just walk in. I said, you mean just walk in the place? He said, walk in like you own it. I said, what you say? He said, I want you to see. Just walk in like you own it. And what he did was, is he was saying, I've got authority over that location. And I am delegating to you to go walk all about that location as if it were me. Now, if I walked in there and somebody said, hey, you, what are you doing here? I could say, Dr. McFarland asked me to stop by here and look around. Oh, okay. Now, they know now the one in authority gave me the rights to be there. Now, if someone weren't on that property says to me, you can't be here, you must leave right now, I pick up my phone and I call the authority. And I say, Dr. Mack, there's an individual here that's saying I'm trespassing and wants me to leave. He would say, who is that individual? And then now he has the right to remove that individual that's disrespecting the authority he gave me. I'm showing you something real big here because there are men in this world that try to tell us what we can't do in the name of Jesus. But you know what? This place don't belong to you. And the one that it belongs to told me to go preach, told me to baptize, told me to teach the gospel. And he's bigger than you. And you might not be here tomorrow, but he ain't going nowhere. Now, who am I going to obey? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? That's understanding authority. So I can't help what elected official. If you watch the news, you know what I'm talking about. I don't care what elected official gonna say, I need to hear all the preacher's sermons to make sure they ain't preaching against me. You ain't big enough to get my sermon. If you want my sermon, you better come hear it. I have been delegated with the authority to preach this word by God. And there is no man in this earth that can stop me from preaching this word. You will take my life before I stop preaching this word. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? But that's the intimidation of man. And we as the body of Christ are not going to go out and do what we've been called to do as long as the enemy can't intimidate us because we don't know the honor that's been given to us by God. I ain't calling nobody to get in trouble, and I ain't calling nobody to disrespect nobody's piece of property or whatever. I'm just saying, when you honor God in a respectful and honest way, he will honor you. Before Word of God Ministries ever existed, I preached. I've been a preacher before I had a place to preach. I believe a preacher going to preach. He don't need a microphone. He'll preach. And I used to preach at the malls, apartment complexes, McDonald's. If the weather was real bad, the phone book. Literally, I would just call people at random. I got cussed out a lot of times, but one time I called somebody who was about to commit suicide, prayed with them, and they accepted Jesus. So you never know. But I was in McDonald's one day, and I wasn't hurting nobody, offending nobody. I was just preaching the gospel, and the manager wasn't bothered by it, nor nobody bothered by it. It was one night after a Friday night football game, and the security officer said, "Sir, you got to take that out." And big old guy walked me outside to my truck. But what he couldn't stop me doing was preaching him the gospel all the way to my vehicle. And so by the time we got to his vehicle, it was the McDonald's at the corner of Linwood and Burke Coons. Saw the manager the other day at a wedding that remembers this. And so I'm out there at my truck, and then he starts breaking down, and he says to me, he says, "You know, my grandmother's been trying to get me in church, and I was raised in church, and I know I got to get back to my walk with the Lord." And I got to talking with him. He got a little teary-eyed. I said, "Man, you can turn to Jesus right now." Prayed with him. He said, "You know what? Come with me." He walked me back in that same McDonald's, asked everybody to sit down and be quiet, and told me to preach. I got to preach to everybody in McDonald's. I said, "Lord, have mercy. Look at Jesus." See, my authority. Now, I couldn't disrespect that man's role. He had the right to evict me from McDonald's. I didn't say, "I ain't going nowhere." You know, I respectfully went to my vehicle. But my authority spoke to him and used his authority to put me back in that place where I belong. Ah, that's good. That's the power of God. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at this. Luke 4, you there, say amen. Now, don't nobody get no phone out of somewhere tonight. Pastor James said it worked for him. Watch this. Be honorable to every figure of authority. Amen. Honor it. Where honor is given, honor will be received. Now, watch this. Luke 4, Jesus here had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And when his fast ended and he was hungry, watch verse 3. The devil said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. In other words, Jesus is saying, I only operate under the delegated authority of the written word. That's what he's saying right here. Why would Jesus say that to him? All he did was ask him about bread. Jesus is making the point that I know what you're up to, devil, and I know what you're getting ready to do. And before you even attempt to do what I know you're getting ready to do, I'm going to let you know right now, I only operate by the delegated authority of the written word of God. You said, "Where did it say written word?" When he said, "It is written." It is written. Because some folk will get deep with you and they want to violate with what's written by saying, "The Spirit told me." The Spirit's never going to violate written authority. I was preaching in Dallas once at a conference, and a pastor friend of mine was there, and he had worked to rehabilitate this musician that was now leading worship in his church. And he asked me, he said, "You know, encourage the brother, would you let him come and minister before you preach?" I said, I didn't feel good. I knew the guy. I said, "Yeah." I said, "Two songs." Because you know how folk can do, man, A, B, C, D, E, F, G selections. And I'm paying for this conference room. We got a limited amount of time. Our radio audience is there. And they ain't there to hear this man's concert. They want the word. And so I said, "Two songs. We ought to have our praise and worship. And then this is going to be a special." So he did two songs, long songs. You know how folk, when it ain't scripted, they go forever. He just kept adding another verse to it. Second verse, same as the first, 18 times. And so when he got through with two songs, he says to the congregation, he said, I know the pastor said two songs, but the Spirit's leading me to do a third. And off he went on number three. Well, when he got to the fourth song, I looked at his pastor. I said, you going to do something with him? Am I going to do something with him? Because he done been up there too long now. He's a picking and a grinning, but he got to go. The point I'm making is that when you're in someone's house that they've been made overseer, the Spirit's not going to lead you to dishonor the authority of that house. That's a dishonorable thing. The Spirit's not going to say, well, I know that the authority said this, but I know the Word says this, but I know the Spirit of God told me. No, God will never through any avenue ever have you violate the written Word. Ever. So Jesus is letting the devil know that right now. So watch verse 5. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain showed him unto him the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee. Delegate. Will I delegate thee and the glory of them? For it is delegated unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Satan himself recognizes delegated authority. And if you'll worship him, he says, hey, I'll give you what I have to give. But I'm going to tell you something right now. The enemy cannot even begin to compare with what Jesus can give your life. Amen? And so, verse 7, he said, if thou wilt worship me, surrender to me, Jesus. That's what Satan is saying. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. I'll delegate my dominion to you. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. What's Jesus saying? I have no gods before me. I honor no one if it means dishonoring my God, my Father. That's the way every one of us should live. And then when we give that kind of honor, we get to receive that kind of honor back from God. Turn with me to the book of Psalms 149. Psalms 149. Are y'all getting anything out of this? You know, I want to say this, and we may deal with this more next week, but I just want to throw it out there. God designed every authority figure and their authority, government, and those that enforce law are ordained of God, that we live a peaceful life. That's what the word says. But all pure godly government is supposed to punish evil and reward good. That's its role. That's what Romans 3, 1 through 3 teaches. And I'm going to throw this out here, and we may deal with this more next week. But if you look at a person in authority, and they're supposed to reward good and punish evil, what happens when men and women are in authority, but their interpretation of what God calls good is actually evil? Then they'll take that authority and they'll punish righteous good because in their mind, that's evil. And that's what's happening in this nation now with this whole now sexual discriminations went to a whole nother level. Now it's no longer you didn't get the job because you were female. And now that's sexual discrimination. No, now it's you didn't let him use that female restroom. But in his mind, he's a female. Y'all think I'm exaggerating. That's where we're going now in this nation. And so what you've got is you've got men and women that are now in positions of authority that are saying, I'm going to use this authority, and I'm going to punish what my interpretation of evil is. And men and women that don't know God, their interpretation of evil is anything that is of God. They want to evict God. And I'm telling you that if you want to live under a system or a nation that you don't want government dealt with, authority dealt with from God, then you're going to open yourself up to a government that is godless. Yeah. And I don't think you want that. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Do we want any authority in our life, any authority in our life that is godless? No, absolutely not. I don't not for my children, from the school teacher to whoever. I don't want a godless figure in his or her life to be in authority. Amen? Now, where did I tell you to go? Psalms 149. So think about that every time you vote. Think about that as we raise our children and what kind of leaders we want them to be, and educating and preparing our children to be our future leaders. Because listen, once a person comes into that seat of authority, it's based on their interpretation of evil. Psalms 149. You there, say amen. Amen. Now watch what we've been given by God. I've been waiting all day to hear this, just now getting to it. Psalms 149. And we'll start in verse 1 so that you can see it. He says, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let the praise of his name, let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with what? Salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Worship's not just what you do at church. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. And what else? A two-edged sword in their hand. What's the two-edged sword according to Ephesians 4:12? The word of God. So let the word of God be in their hand. Watch this, verse 7. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Read verse 9 out loud. To execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. So what honor has every saint been given? The honor to execute written judgment. In other words, I have the right to perform and carry out the written word of God. And that's what Jesus was saying to Satan. It is written. I don't care what's been given unto you, devil. It has been written. And I will perform. I will carry out. I will execute in my life the written word of God. And you have to know that when you do that, the written word of God has more authority than any seat of authority that could ever be given by a man. Ask Daniel when you see him. And they left those lions unfed because they were going to punish Daniel for his prayers. And what did God do? Somebody know he must have fed them some angel's food or something. Maybe it was angel's cake. But all I know is when they look in on Daniel, he had done turned those lions into what? Big pillows. He laid up sleeping with them. Taking a little cat. Look at it, look at it, taking a cat nap. Come on, somebody. Jesus. Shadrach, mean cat, and a billy goat. Ask them what happened because they wouldn't bow down to that statue made of gold. A law that was only written by those that were jealous of those men. They went to the king and made up that law to have the king to sign just to entrap those men. It was all set up to entrap the believer, just like so many laws of today are set up to entrap the church. And so it was set up to entrap those that believed and feared God. But what happened? They went into that furnace, and the next morning the king didn't want to do that. He looked in there and he said, wait a minute, hey, whoa, hold on a minute. How many did we throw in here? They said, Lord, king, we threw three in there. He said, did we throw them in there bound? Three bound. Yes, sir, Mr. King. Well, how come I'm seeing four and they're loose? And one looks to be like unto the Son of God. Why? Because the Son of God has all power in heaven and in earth, and he showed up, and they left there, didn't even smell like smoke. Ask the keeper of the prison that end up taking Paul and Silas back to his house and washed their stripes and cranked up the barbecue pit and cooked them some meat, read the story, and fed them in his house. And then his whole house got saved after he had bound them hand and foot and put them in the inside of a prison, only until God sent an angel and an earthquake and brought them out. And that man ended up getting saved because he recognized who was in authority. Ask Nebuchadnezzar when he acted like he was God, because he was king of this glorious Babylon. When God got through with Nebuchadnezzar, he was on all four eating grass like an ox until he came to his right senses and began to honor God. We have to recognize that no man has more authority in our life than God, and he can trump any authority in your life when you're honoring him. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. That's a good word right there. It's a word to live by, amen? Let me pray for you tonight, hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would give us a revelation that, Lord, you are God in heaven and in earth. The earth is yours and the fullness thereof. God, I thank you tonight and I praise you for who you are. And Lord God, I pray that tonight you would open our heart with a conviction that, Lord, we don't have to fear man. We don't have to live dishonorably to please man. That God, there is nothing that man can do that is greater than what you can do. Search your heart tonight, church. Search your heart. What has intimidated you? What is preventing you from honoring God? Are you listening to illegitimate authority? When the church was young, handful of members, had a member come to me. He was our biggest supporter. He told me to cut off the radio broadcast because we couldn't afford it. And I said, I know God called me to do this radio ministry. He said, well, I don't think we can afford it. And I said, I got to do it. God told me to. He said, well, let me put it to you this way. He said, I don't think we can afford it. And if you keep doing it, I'm going to pull my support. And I said, brother, I love you and I love your family and I don't want to see you go, but I can't pull that radio ministry. He left. It was the second year of this ministry's existence. The end of that year, the church membership gave about $40,000 in support. Our radio ministry gave $88,000. The Lord showed me. Our radio partners gave over twice as much as the actual church. The Lord showed me, you always do what I tell you to do. Don't you ever let a man get up in a position over your life where he thinks he has the right to tell you what to do. There are illegitimate authorities that set themselves up in our life, and if we obey them, we can only get what they offer. That's all you can get. If I'd listened to that man who gave, you know, real big, and I'd said, yes, sir, you're right, I guess we should turn it off, then you know what? His $400 or $500 a week would have been all that this ministry would have received. And then he had always been in control of this church, and it would have never grown because I'd always listen to the ones that got the money, and that's what's happened to so many churches. That's illegitimate authority. What illegitimate authorities are in your life? Is it your flesh? Is it friends? You make a decision that you will only honor that which honors God. Live a life that honors him. Don't allow your flesh to get on the throne of your life where you're beginning to honor its appetite. 2 Timothy speaks of you and I keeping our flesh honorably so we can be used by the Master. Holy Spirit, show us tonight how we need to apply this word to our lives.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.